This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There seems to be a piece in this case that when I look at it, again, I think Karen Reed should probably be free. Not that I think she wasn't involved in his death. I think it was a horrible accident. I think everybody's been drugged through the coals. And at this point, we're never really going to know. And I think everybody has regret. Nobody, I think, set out to murder anyone that night. The other part of this case that is really troubling to me is the cell phone data. To me, if you were to go to an expert, not even just an expert, let's go to the company that decodes this information that you're relying on for your data, and they explain to you what you're looking at. You'd already looked at it and said, well, here's what this is. Well, the company says, no, it's not. You're actually inaccurate, but here's what it really is. We understand how you may have taken it that way, but at a deeper dive, things you don't see on the surface, here's what the timeline really is for when these searches were conducted. The fact that you have the actual company giving you the ingredients to the secret sauce and somebody else is saying, I don't think those are the right ingredients. It's just kind of denying reality at this point, saying, well, we got a guy over here who thinks they make a better recipe. Great, but it's not the recipe that answers your question.
Yeah, it's kind of like exactly what you said. The company saying this is the recipe, and defense is saying, nuh-uh. But defense found a little wrinkle within that data. You know, the way that data is presented is very confusing. And there's like, I forget the language they use, but it's like GTC plus 3 hours or something. And so it lends itself to some confusion and some perhaps misinterpretation. And defense is using that to their full advantage. They may be totally wrong, but if they create in the jurors' minds some confusion about that, sometimes confusion equals doubt equals reasonable doubt.
I get it. If you're the defense attorney, you're going to want to try and bring that in. But should the judge even allow it in, just considering it's not accurate? I mean, it's just not a fact. The company, here's the recipe. Somebody over here, no, it's actually, it's not. It's just not. There's fact and there's fiction. And there's misinterpreting things. And then if you are corrected, sometimes you just got to own up and go, yeah, okay, that was wrong. I mean, it, number one, I think it could be a huge danger for the defense to even bring it in, because I would see them getting hammered every which way going, I think that needed to be a much stronger point that was argued in the original trial, which I don't think the prosecution really did a good job at. But I think this time you really got to hammer that forward. But again, judges shouldn't be letting things into the case that really don't have a whole lot of merit to them, especially when it is just factual data. It's not a storyline. It's not an eyewitness testimony. It's just factual data. How often does things like this get into courts and into the actual trial when, you know, on the outside, it is, here's the data. This is what it is.
Yeah, so judges are the gatekeepers of evidence that goes to the jury. And part of their role is to ensure that only competent evidence goes. It can't be speculation. It can't be something fabricated. It's got to have a basis in fact. That being said, some judges are reluctant to preclude experts because they're worried about getting reversed on appeal. And so I can't help but wonder if the judge perhaps sort of compromised in her own head on this expert and said, it's a little questionable, but I don't want my butt to be on the line on appeal, so I'm going to let it in and see what the jury does.
But because then you can go to, you're right, I hear you, where you don't want my butt to be on the line if it goes to appeals because another judge could see it differently. But how is everybody on a different page when it comes to facts? You know, that's the thing. How can everyone be on a different page when it's simply factual data? It's like, if I type the letter A into the computer and it's on Word, it's the letter A. You can't reinterpret that some other way. It is what it is.
And that should be the prosecution's closing argument on that issue. You know, that's one thing the prosecution has to do. As a former prosecutor, you've got to kind of dispel the smoke and mirrors that the defense might be trying to put up and bring the jury back to reality and say, hey, no, these are the facts and this is how it is.
Yeah, it just seems like facts are very optional sometimes in these cases. And then it's left to a jury to try and figure that out. I mean, I'm assuming, I mean, I'm sure I've seen this. I mean, it's sometimes a battle of who can confuse the jury the most. And put that reasonable doubt in there. It's just, it's so angering when you see it being done with things that are truly factual, that there's not a lot of debate on, that you can't really debate, but then that ends up swaying it or ends up with a mistrial like we saw last time.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's some defense attorney's strategy to inject as much confusion and disarray and everything else into the trial because they believe that confusion could lead to doubt. The jury could say, gosh, well, I'm confused. I don't know what the data actually says now. And is that doubt, is that confusion, does it translate to doubt? Does it translate to reasonable doubt? A lot of defense attorneys take that route.
Is that what is going on here? I mean, it's just that's the only strategy you really have. Let's throw everything out there because all the facts really don't look very good for Karen Reed.
The defense has really mucked things up, probably intentionally. You have the cell phone data issue, you have the dog bite, potential red herring, and then you have the police misconduct, which is problematic, but might not prove innocence. And they're kind of just thinking, hey, let's have a constellation of all these things, put them together, and hopefully the jury comes out in our favor.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.